And the All Blacks begin their Bledisloe Cup title defence tomorrow night at Eden Park, with the hosts looking to maintain their nearly 20-year-long stranglehold on the trophy. The Wallabies haven't won the Bledisloe since 2002, haven't beaten the All Blacks at the Auckland Fortress in 35 years. The All Blacks coach Ian Foster has made three changes to the starting 15 from the one that beat Fiji last month, with lock Brody Retallick, Lucy Dalton Papali'i and winger Rico Ioane coming in, while Severis switches from the left to the right wing and Ardie Savia moves in from number 8 to open side. Now, Foster says defending the Eden Park record, where they haven't lost since 1986, or to anyone since 1994, it's not putting any more pressure on the team than they normally feel.
It's a Bledisloe Cup test. There's always pressure. That's great. That's why we love it. So it doesn't change anything, but it's nice to be playing at home, and nowadays we treasure those moments probably more than many.
The Wallabies have said they'll try to dominate the All Blacks forward pack like they did in last year's drawn Bledisloe Cup test in Wellington. Foster expects the visitors to try to beat them up and control the breakdown.
A very committed, physical ruck and run type team. They've spoken about dominating us up front and playing a fast physical game.
Foster's confident the team won't be caught off guard by the Wallabies' physicality and aggression like they were in last year's drawn series opener in Wellington.
Not about responding to external stimulus, really. It's about that internal drive in ourselves to be the best that we can be. So that involves us being really effective and physical and in the way we play as well. So there'll be no surprises in the intensity.
Let's talk with rugby reporter Joe Porter on this now. Kia ora, Joe. Can the Wallabies break their Eden Park drought?
Morena, Susie. Well, look, I think it's going to be pretty tough. They haven't won there, like you said, since 1986. They've got a team that's been disrupted this week, with three players stood down due to breaching team drinking protocols earlier on. One of those players is star wing Marika Koriambete, so a big blow there. Look... It is the first Bledisloe Cup test, so this is typically the one where the Wallabies can perhaps catch the All Blacks off guard, although the All Blacks have had that July series under their belt already to shake off the rust. The Wallabies, they've got a young team, so they don't have as much fear, I guess, as some of the others that have been there before and have lost so many times at Eden Park. I guess they don't have, those battle scars, so to speak, or mental scars. So they're confident of upsetting them, but look, I really can't see it happening this weekend. The Wallabies team has got a lot of young playmakers inside it. I think this All Blacks team is stronger on paper, and the Eden Park Fortress, I think, will prove again a place where the All Blacks are too hard to beat.
Yeah, because, I mean, they have to win it if they want to win back the Bledisloe, don't they?
Yeah, well, that's right. The Wallabies, they've got back-to-back games at Eden Park this year, which is very unusual. Usually they would play just the one at Eden Park, and you could almost think that they would write that one off mentally, you know, and thinking that if they win in Sydney and in Wellington, they get the Bledisloe back. This time round, they have to win at least once at Eden Park to take the Bledisloe Cup off the All Blacks. So, yeah, they have to switch that mentality around to, like you say, trying to make history. We've got to do it at least once. But if they do make history and win at Eden Park in one of these games, then they give themselves a shot of making more history and winning that Bledisloe back for the first time since 2002.
The team, is this Ian Foster's strongest All Black outing?
Pretty close. The front rowers are still missing Joe Moody and Ufotunga Fassi, who are the two first choice props. They're out with injury at the moment, but you look at the return of Brody Retallick at lock with Sam Whitelock. Richie Mwanga at first five seems to have nailed down that spot ahead of Bowden Barrett, although the All Blacks won't say as much. And Damien McKenzie also looks to have won the battle for the fullback position ahead of Geordie Barrett. So it looks like this is on paper. There could be some tweaking, I guess, in the loose forwards with Akira Ioane, Ardie Savia, and of course Dalton Papali'i coming in this week. Luke Jacobson probably still in the mix there, but I think largely this is the strongest team Ian Foster could have picked, and this is probably what the team will be going forward. Mm.
Just a couple of quick things before you go, Joe. The rest of the All Blacks season, of course, there's COVID, there's border closures.
Yeah.
It makes a very stop-start. That's going to be affecting things, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be quite interesting. After these two games, we don't really know what's going to happen. They're supposed to go to Perth and play, but what date, we're not quite sure about that. And it will mean the All Blacks have to be in Australia for quite some time. They're playing their two rugby championship games against Argentina over there, of course, due to the travel bubble being paused with Australia. And of course, if that pause is extended beyond those 8 weeks, the All Blacks are likely going to have to stay in Australia and play their two games against the Springboks as well. So they're away for a long period of time. Now, here's a real spanner in the works. The All Blacks players have a clause in their contract, or at least an agreement with New Zealand Rugby, that they will only do one stint in MIQ per year. So that means if the bubble pause is extended, they may have to come back and do their stint in MIQ before going on their end-of-year tour to the US and to Europe in November and October? Or do they stay in Australia and then just go straight to the US to avoid doing the MIQ because they're going to have to do it when they come back from Europe anyway? So they could potentially be away for up to 3 months if that's the case. Now, what happens then? Do the All Blacks look at sending possibly two teams? Do they send one squad to Australia for the Rugby Championship because they know they're going to be stuck there for the whole tournament, and then send a B team perhaps on the northern end of year tour? I'm not sure. It's going to throw some interesting questions up, that's for sure.
Sure is. Hey, thanks so much, rugby reporter Joe Porter.